Do not ask which creature screams in the night. Do not question who waits for you in the shadow. It is my cry that wakes you in the night, and my body that crouches in the shadow. I am Tinch, and you are the puppet that dances to my tune.
Tinch, also known as the Changer of Ways, the Lord of Change, Lord of Sorcery, the Lord of Entropy, the Great Conspirator, the Weaver of Destinies, and the Architect of Fate, among many other names and titles, is the Chaos God of Change, Evolution, Mutation, Intrigue, Ambition, Knowledge, Sorcery, Destiny, Lies, and Trickery. Tinch is especially empowered by the desire for change and ambition for advancement among mortals. Tinch's true power is sorcery, and as all sorcery flows from the font of the Immaterium, so too is Tinch the master of that twisted, chaotic medium of psychic energy. Tinch embodies mortals' tendency towards mutability and change, the drive to evolve and manipulate. This spirit is present in the essence of every living creature from the first division of cells in the womb to the ultimate craving for survival. It is in the hearts of those with the strongest desire to prevail that Tinch whispers his insidious promise, offering a means of life eternal to those unwilling to accept death and oblivion as inevitable. It is also Tinch who weaves the threads that connect every action, plot, and subtle intrigue in a galaxy-wide game of manipulation and subterfuge. At the end of each of these threads lies the ensnared soul of a human puppet, those of Tinch's mortal servants and agents who believe they serve the Lord of Sorcery in mutually beneficial pacts. The truth is that Tinch's every action is planned with its ultimate goal as his own establishment as the preeminent chaos power in the realm of chaos, the ultimate victor in the great game. Of course, the very nature of the Lord of Entropy is such that, were he to attain this triumph, he would still strive for turmoil and change. In many ways, Tinch is both the best and least understood of the dark gods. He is the god of fate, plots, and schemes, as well as the god that exemplifies the ever-changing nature of the warp. However, Tinch does not plot towards some end, at least none that can be comprehended. He schemes simply to scheme. He is constantly building, even as his devices unravel under their own complexity. At the same time, he is the god of knowledge and comprehension, and his devotees may be those who seek a deeper understanding of an often enigmatic universe. Tinch is known by 100,000 titles across the galaxy, amongst them the Weaver of Destinies, the Great Conspirator, and the Architect of Fate. In his mind, he listens to the hopes and desires for change of every sentient being from every planet in the universe. He watches over the plans of his playthings as they unfold into history, toying with fate and fortune, both for his own entertainment and to further his unfathomable schemes. Tinch feeds upon and is empowered by the mortal emotions of need and desire for change that is an essential part of all life in the universe. All people dream of prosperity, freedom from injustice, and a better tomorrow. These dreams are not just the preserve of the impoverished or the powerless. Even imperial planetary governors and imperial navy battle fleet admirals dream of further riches, or perhaps even an end to their responsibilities to the emperor. All these dreams and desires create a powerful impetus for change, and the ambitions of nations create a force that can challenge history. Tinch is the embodiment of that force within the Immaterium. He was the second of the Chaos Gods to come to full sentience within the warp, sometime during Old Earth's European medieval period in the second millennium. His birth marked the maturation of human nations and politics, with all of their implicit intrigues and double dealings. Tinch is not content to merely observe the fulfillment and disappointment brought by the passage of time. He has his own plans, schemes that are so complex and closely woven that they touch the lives of every living thing, whether they realize it or not. The Chaos God's masterly comprehension of time, history, and intrigue allows his ploys to intertwine seamlessly, forming a web of causality that spans the stars. Tzeentch is aware of the visions and plans of all mortals in the galaxy. He takes great delight in the plotting and politicking of others and favors the cunning over the strong. When the inner voice in a person's head speaks, when the desperate whisper their prayers into the night, it is the architect of fate that listens. He perceives every event and intention, and from this information, his mighty mind can work out how each will influence the future. The intertwining latticework of probability, hope, and change is Tzeentch's meat and drink. Without it, he would eventually fade away. Perhaps the architect of fate has plans to overthrow the other chaos gods, or to extend his dominion over all the mortal realms. Perhaps not even Tzeentch himself can say for sure. Whatever his ultimate goal, he seeks to achieve it by manipulating the individual lives of humans and Xenos alike. By offering the power of knowledge and sorcery, he can recruit influential chaos warlords and magi to his cause, affecting the lives of many more at a single stroke. However, few of Tzeentch's plans are ever simple. Some span eons with their complexity, whilst many appear contradictory to others, or even against his own interests. Only Tzeentch can see the threads of potential futures weaving through time like tangled skeins of multicolored cords, cords which themselves are made of decision, happenstance, and fluke. Tzeentch is the undisputed master of sorcery in the universe. Sorcery is one of the most potent agents of change, and those who use it are amongst the most ambitious and hungry for power. The raw psychic energy that empowers the psychers of the mortal realm is the actual fabric of the realm of chaos, the same fabric that makes up the ruinous powers, their demon servants and the shadow selves of mortal consciousness that flicker in the warp and that humanity calls souls. The use of psychic power, or magic as it can rightly be called, is held as the ultimate expression of faith among Tzeentch's followers, who have much to gain from his patronage. Though it will likely cost them their immortal souls, they will at least have boundless power to show for it while they live. This is in stark contrast to the poor, wretched psychers of the Imperium of Man, who are corralled by the Inquisition's black ships and brought to Terra, where many of them feed the dying Emperor's boundless hunger for psychic energy to power the Astronomicon. In Tzeentch's eyes, mortal creatures are immeasurably steeped in ambiguity, yet they somehow wage their personal wars completely unaware of the countless contradictions in their souls. Tzeentch cannot help but dabble in the mortal realm. Some amongst the Inquisition believe that the Great Conspirator is responsible for the exponential increases of psychic ability in the human species in recent millennia. His own need to manipulate and control, and his desire to increase his own power in the warp, mean Tzeentch is eternally playing the great game waged amongst his brother Chaos Gods. The architect of fate is not above sullying his clawed hands with the bloody business of war, though he much prefers to win his battles through guile and sorcery than brute force. Consumed by his own ineffable thoughts, Tzeentch binds the galaxy in the weave of his complex schemes just as a spider binds a fly. Though his schemes can take Terran millennia to unfold, when they come to fruition, it is usually reality itself that pays the price. While one mortal lies to another, while envy and ambition survive among humans and aliens, Tzeentch will work his magic as the puppet master of the universe, working towards the day when his final great work will be revealed. Tzeentch exerts his influence in the mortal realm through subtle manipulation and devious ploys. The victims of his corruption are sorcerers drawn by the promise of forbidden knowledge, scholars who seek knowledge at all costs, politicians lured by the power knowledge provides to outmaneuver their opponents. Tzeentch's sacred number is 9. His colors are typically seen as blue and gold, but an ever-changing rainbow of color is appropriate as well. thus giving the name to the Lord of Change's demonic armies, the Scintillating Legions.
If chaos is change itself, then Tinch, more than any other dark power, embodies chaos in its purest, most primal form. Therefore, no other god of chaos warrants more of our fearful respect, our tireless resistance, and our unflagging loyalty to the Emperor.
The psychic entity or sentient force in the Immaterium known as Tzeentch is perhaps the most enigmatic of the so-called chaos gods or ruinous powers. Tzeentch, the changer of ways, embodies mortals' desires for evolution, improvement, innovation, and progress, as well as their dreams of wealth, prosperity, and a better tomorrow. While many perceive these motivations as healthy, wholesome, and perhaps even necessary to mortal existence, Tzeentch, the great conspirator, works to corrupt the aspirations and ambitions of humanity and Xenos alike, and to leverage these hopes and dreams for his own nefarious ends. The other dark gods tend to act upon mortal society more directly. Khorne with bloodshed and slaughter, Nurgle with disease and decay, and Slaanesh with the allure of ecstasy and decadence. However, Tzeentch and his servants, human, Xenos, and demon, scheme and conspire quietly and stealthily to guide and influence the machinations of mortal society. The changer of ways favors subtle weapons, flattering words, enticing temptations, healthy ambition stoked to traitorous or immoral ends, and above all, schemes within endless schemes. Many a politician, scholar, military officer, or other mortal leader has begun a promising career, altruistic project, or worthwhile intellectual investigation only to find themselves, perhaps prompted by a seemingly well-intentioned colleague who secretly served the great conspirator, making moral compromises, moving up the hierarchy at the expense of others, or taking ethically questionable shortcuts. Even with the best of intentions, or perhaps because of them, these people are vulnerable to the machinations of Tzeentch, who conspires to turn such individuals into cogs in his infernal machine, fueled by endless schemes, lies, plots, and deceits. While the other dark gods adopt relatively fixed forms much of the time, Tzeentch manifests in a multitude of guises. Tzeentch is often referred to as a he, with the masculine gender, though in fact, like all the entities composed of psychic energy called the Chaos Gods, it in fact has no gender. The firmament surrounding Tzeentch is heavy with magic. It weaves like liquid smoke about its head, forming subtle and interwoven patterns. Forms of places and people appear in the smoke as Tzeentch contemplates their fate. Those who appear there will inevitably find their minds, bodies, or destinies mutating into strange new forms, for none can come to Tzeentch's attention and remain unchanged. Nonetheless, over the eons, certain traits have emerged in Tzeentch's appearance, its associated iconography, the material presence of the god's demonic followers, and the nightmares Tzeentch's visage implants in the minds of those who witness it. Such descriptions often reveal Tzeentch as a thin, lanky sorcerer, either male or female, in robes that continually change color. Tzeentch's head hangs low beneath its shoulders, so that head and body are one and its arms are long and spindly. From above, Tzeentch's burning eyes spring two sweeping horns, the spiraling extremities of which crackle with arcane fire. Some descriptions posit that Tzeentch's demonic skin is covered in faces and mouths that shift, slide, emerge, and are subsumed back into the unnatural flesh, crawling with constant change. They whisper secrets dark and terrible, leering at and mocking onlookers. As Tzeentch speaks, these faces repeat its words with subtle but important differences, or provide a commentary that throws doubt upon the statements uttered by the entity's primary or natural mouth. Some of the Ordo Malleus's demon hunters, however, realize that these perceived consistencies, like so many things associated with the Great Deceiver, may constitute a ruse of one kind or another. After all, consistency is often part and parcel of the most convincing lies and confidence schemes. Although many have described Tzeentch in this way, others have portrayed the Dark God as multicolored smoke, crackling energy of an unknown type that burns or mutates the objects it touches, faces in mist, a writhing mass of fleshy protoplasm, and burning dark tongue runes that hang in space and sear the very air, sometimes all within the same observation. Others show malformed birds, fish, or perverse hybridized versions of the two that swim through the air and fly through the sea. Indeed, birds and fish figure heavily in descriptions of Tzeentch in the god's iconography and in the shapes taken by many of its demonic and mutated mortal followers. For instance, Tzeentch's most powerful servants, the greater demons known as the Lords of Change, resemble giant humanoid birds. Its screamers and the discs that carry Tzeentch's champions to battle often appear as flying aquatic manta rays, tirelessly hunting through both the great ocean of the Empyrean and the air of real space like the legendary Carcharodons of primordial Terra. Other commentators have suggested that Tzeentch, the great mutator, has no fixed shape at all. Tzeentch's tangible form, when it chooses to manifest physically, is a mass of constantly shifting flesh. Thus, the constantly fluctuating material body of the Changer of Ways resembles many of its creations, such as the god's demons and its domain in the realm of chaos itself, which similarly have no stable form. Still others have posited that Tzeentch's physical forms are simply images that mortal minds create to try to perceive and understand something far more abstract, an agent of pure change, mutation, and flux. Such a form is more akin to metaphor than reality, and perhaps suits this ruinous power to a greater degree than eyes of flesh or metal could possibly capture. If some truth lies in this line of reasoning, then perhaps mortal minds have come to associate Tzeentch with birds and fish, creatures of air and water respectively, because both of these animals inhabit fluid environments. Wind, tide, waves, temperature, turbidity, and bodies in motion constantly reshape the air and water in which these organisms live, making them fitting symbols for the Changer of Ways. As with much concerning the Great Changer, however, in the end all is conjecture and supposition, for attempting to know the true form of the Master of Mutation is to embrace madness. As any description of Tzeentch will be inaccurate and prone to the manipulations of the Great Deceiver, it follows that the most accurate descriptions of the Changer of Ways will acknowledge their inherent imprecision. Any attempt to fix this dark god in words, images, or ideas, no matter for what purpose, scholarly, tactical, self-serving, or unholy, will fail. Even if mortal minds could possibly perceive, comprehend, and communicate the true nature of Tzeentch at one moment, that nature would change the next, rendering the previous understanding obsolete. As such, whether one's goal is to remain loyal to the Emperor of Mankind, to serve the purpose of a Xeno species, or to explore the ways of chaos for reasons scholarly or dark, one may best be served by considering the architect of fate only at the periphery of one's mind's eye. For even those who knowingly sail upon the shifting breeze of Tzeentch can never see the true face of the chaos god who wears a thousand masks. An excerpt from the works of the chaos sorcerer Ahriman explains much about the significance of Tzeentch's sacred number. Ahriman writes, "Nine is the number most sacred to the Changer of Ways. It is only upon tracing the ninth sigil that the runes of a change scroll begin to glow, morphing into their true nature. There are 9 distinct rites an acolyte must master before he can unlock the secrets that will permit him to pierce the veil, a process that will allow a worthy aspirant to draw upon the boundless energies of the immaterium. To remain unbroken, a summoning symbol must contain 9 sequential rings, each perfectly executed in a 9-fold process. 9 are the chants of the Kyric cultus, and for casting, a coven of 9 is by far the most powerful of groupings. Yet it is not the mortal rites alone that obey the great sorcerer's Ennedic rules. The number 9 can be found woven throughout the unfathomable and ever-changing structures of the architect of fate's own realm within the warp. The lords of change, the greatest servants of Tzeentch and commanders of his convocations, are ordered within 9 levels of trust. All seek their master's favor, and those in ascendancy rule the 9 fractal fortresses. Beneath each of those most exalted are 999 legions, each divided into 9 hosts. It is said that when demons are slain, their immortal spirit appears within the impossible fortress, arriving before their maker from one of the ever-shifting 9 gates, there to be either reformed or reabsorbed by the will of Tzeentch.
I am Tzeentch, and you are the puppet that dances to my tune.
Tzeentch is one of the 4 major chaos gods, and his areas of influence include sorcery, scheming, change, ambition, and knowledge. He is known by many names: the Changer of Ways, the Great Schemer, the Father of Lies and Deception, the Great Mutator, the Master of Fortune, the Great Conspirator, the Architect of Fate, the Great Eagle, the Shifting Breeze, the Master of Fate, Char, Shunch, Chen, and countless other titles and names from the millions of dialects and languages spoken throughout the galaxy. For every name by which the Master of Deceit is known, he has 1,000 guises and plots. Everything related to the Master of Change shifts, mutates, evolves, and transmogrifies. One can go mad, and many have, trying to study even the smallest threads of the Great Schemer and to perform the impossible, to describe him and to fix him to one shape, one form, one motive, one truth. Perhaps the best way to characterize Tzeentch is not to describe him at all, as over time, he differs from himself more than he does any other being. Tzeentch, like his endless schemes, constantly shifts, morphs, and transforms. Tzeentch is, without question, the most disturbing and least comprehensible of all the chaos gods to mortals. Plotters and schemers find themselves drawn to Tzeentch, especially those who crave psychic or sorcerous power to achieve their goals. Politicians and leaders, magisters and chaos cultists all find themselves drawn along the convoluted paths of fate, using Tzeentch to achieve their dreams and aspirations, though ultimately all are led to play their part in Tzeentch's own eternal schemes. No mortal can fully comprehend the full nature of the intricately woven, multi-layered plots of Tzeentch, and to attempt to do so can only lead to insanity. Yet in reality, Tzeentch has no grand plan, no ultimate goal to fulfill. For Tzeentch, the mere act of plotting and entwining the brief fates of mortals is purpose enough. There is no end to his scheming, for he desires no end to the creation of change. Tzeentch can never achieve any ultimate aim, for to do so would be the end of ambition, the end of change, and thus the end of the Lord of Destiny. Many are the followers of Tzeentch. Some willingly and knowingly follow the Architect of Fate. Others, deceived by the Father of Lies and his servants, believe themselves to be advancing their own agendas while, in actuality, they blindly serve the Changer of Ways. Many rogues, renegades, heretics, and Chaos Space Marines also serve Tzeentch. The reach of the Architect of Fate is long, stretching across the galaxy with special attention to regions such as the Eye of Terror, the Maelstrom, the Great Rift, and the Screaming Vortex, where the warp and reality become one. He is the master of the thousand and one plots, each more intricate and devious than the next, and none save for Tzeentch himself can possibly imagine, let alone fathom, them all. Such is the changer of ways, and such is his control over the foolish efforts of all mortals. While not as numerous or as obvious as the followers of Korn, Tzeentch nevertheless has a strong and firm hold on the hands and minds of mortals. In fact, many more mortals serve him than are aware of it, his scheming and many names often obscuring the true force behind events. Mortal worshippers of Tzeentch tend to be sorcerers, psychers, scholars, and other educated elites who desire greater knowledge and power. Some of these worshippers become very powerful sorcerers, but Tzeentch has a tendency to mutate his followers, and the highest levels of power are said to be difficult for his mortal followers to reach, as they frequently find themselves mutated into the mindless beast called Chaos Spawn before they can unlock the most potent mysteries offered by the Lord of Change. Those who do attain great power in the service of Tzeentch, however, are extremely powerful foes, mighty chaos sorcerers as well as great warriors. Additionally, while Korn detests and forbids sorcery, intrigue, and subtlety in all its forms, Tzeentch has no such qualms about using and manipulating brutish might when it strikes his fancy. As such, while Korn has no sorcerer or psyker followers, Tzeentch assembles armies of warriors from all walks of life. Anyone who inflicts or incurs great change in themselves or their surroundings is likely to fall under the gaze of the Lord of Change. Those who study arcane lore, employ psychic powers, practice the art of sorcery, or otherwise tamper with the power of the Empyrean, with or without imperial sanction, are among Tzeentch's favorite targets for temptation and eventual corruption. Imperial scholars have determined that the incidence of the psyker mutation among the human population increases with each generation. It therefore follows that the risk Tzeentch poses to humanity has increased commensurately. As such, organizations such as the Inquisition, the Adeptus Astra Telepathica, the Adeptus Astronomica, and the Scholastia Sicana must remain forever vigilant and prosecute any trace of the influence of chaos with extreme prejudice. Many checks and restraints exist to prevent the influence of warp entities on the minds of imperial psykers, but any security system and the individuals who maintain it are fallible, capable of errors in judgment, and themselves subject to temptations and dark influences. Even with these safeguards in place, imperial commissars operate under strict orders to execute sanctioned psykers at the first sign of possession or demonic influence.
And what Imperium? It was built with the toil of heroes and giants, and now it is inhabited by frightened weaklings to whom the glories of those times are half-forgotten legends.
Tzeentch is the changer of ways, the chaos god of change, sorcery, and intrigue who perhaps most directly embodies the heart of what chaos itself represents as a universal force. Fewer individuals and chaos cults fall to the temptations offered by Tzeentch than to the other ruinous powers, as the immediate benefits the Lord of Sorcery offers are less tangible and immediate than the sensory pleasures of Slaanesh, the diseased and disfigured immortality of Nurgle, or the bloodthirsty strength of Korn. Instead, the worship of Tzeentch appeals most to those who value knowledge, especially secret, forbidden knowledge and the power that it brings. Of course, the individuals most likely to be tempted into the service of Tzeentch are psykers, who already possess the secret and feared ability to tap the limitless power of the warp to reshape reality. Tzeentch offers psykers the knowledge required to achieve unlimited heights of psychic ability through the practice of the powerful arcane psychic techniques known to the Imperium of Man as sorcery that can only be learned from interaction and communication with the dark powers of the Immaterium. For many, The forbidden knowledge Tzeentch offers is just too tempting to pass up, and before they know it, they have been ensnared within the Grand Schemer's tangled webs and find themselves as just another unwitting pawn in his chaos plots. No less a personage than the Primarch Magnus the Red found it impossible to steer clear of Tzeentch's temptations, as his overwhelming desire to protect his thousand sons Legion's precious knowledge of the warp and sorcery ultimately led him into the embrace of the Changer of Ways. Even non-psychers can find themselves pawns in Tzeentch's endless games of intrigue when they discover that if they make use of the heretical knowledge offered by the Chaos God, just this once, they can perhaps better their station in life or that of their loved ones. Imperial nobles and politicians are often drawn into Tzeentch's web through the edge over their rivals he offers in the form of knowledge and the power it can provide. Yet the lower classes also provide fertile ground for the Lord of Sorcery. In a society that is as difficult and repressive as that of the Imperium, it can be all too easy to give in to the blandishments of a charismatic, heretical preacher who promises salvation and prosperity, if one will just agree to follow a particular path towards enlightenment. It is in just this way that countless Tzeentchian chaos cults are begun across the galaxy. Many normally pious and good-hearted subjects of the Emperor, tired of the mindless, back-breaking labor and elite disdain that dominates life on so many imperial worlds, are easily swayed to join various mystery cults. These cults slowly draw these folk ever tighter into a web of Tzeentchian corruption, until too late, they discover they have become the corrupt servants of chaos. While Tzeentchian corruption is the least common form of chaos perversion found across the Imperium, it is also the most feared by the Inquisition, for its adherents are the most powerful of chaos servants and the best at concealing both themselves and their complex schemes from the light of the Emperor. The Thousand Sons Traitor Legion of Heretic Astartes serves Tzeentch exclusively. They were once the XF Legion of Space Marines founded on Terra, created in the late 30th millennium to reclaim the stars for humanity after the horrors of the Age of Strife. For some time, they fought with distinction and were nearly indistinguishable from the other Space Marine legions. Shortly into the Great Crusade, however, the Thousand Sons began to change. Many manifested psychic abilities. Others underwent a flesh change and developed rapid and uncontrolled physical mutations. Mutated battle brothers were placed in stasis to await an eventual cure, and the ranks of the Thousand Sons grew thin. Leaders of the Imperium became concerned, and many argued that the Legion should be disbanded and all traces of its existence removed from Imperial history. The Great Crusade wore on, and the forces of the Emperor eventually reached the planet Prospero, where they discovered Magnus the Red, the Cyclopean Primarch of the Thousand Sons. Once introduced to the X-Temeth Legion created from his genome, Magnus acted swiftly to save his progeny, almost all of whom had succumbed to the flesh change. Through some unknown and possibly arcane process of sorcery gained through interaction with the entities of the warp, a bargain that cost him one of his eyes, Magnus stabilized the Thousand Sons' gene seed, but by then, the numbers of the Thousand Sons were small indeed. Under Magnus's guidance, the Thousand Sons rebuilt their legion, recruited new battle brothers from the population of Prospero, and reorganized themselves. They developed the most powerful librarians of that era of imperial history, as well as unconventional tactics that involved sorcery and diplomatic trickery. This ended with the Council of Nicaea and the Emperor's decree to abolish the use of sorcery and other psychic powers in the Imperium and amongst the Space Marine legions, as well as the tragic and terrible events that led the Thousand Sons to turn their back on the Imperium forever. At the start of the Horus Heresy in the early 31st millennium, Magnus the Red tried to warn the Emperor of Horus's treachery by using sorcery to reach across the vast interstellar distances between the Thousand Sons' homeworld of Prospero and Terra, but the Emperor rejected the sorceress' warning as a deception perpetrated by Chaos against his beloved son, Horus. He sent Leman Russ, the Space Wolves Legion's Primarch, along with his legion and elements of the Sisters of Silence and the Legio Custodes to bring Magnus back to Terra for trial for violation of the Council of Nicaea's prescription on the use of sorcery. But Russ's orders were maliciously modified by Horus to get the Space Wolves to attack the Thousand Sons outright instead and force them to turn to Chaos to save themselves. Russ attacked, and ultimately, the X-5th Legion's homeworld burned during the terrible campaign remembered as the Fall of Prospero. Some of the Thousand Sons, including Magnus the Red, managed to escape with the help of their new patron, Tzeentch, and sided with Horus against the Emperor to seek vengeance for all that had been lost on Prospero. They became traitor marines and fought alongside the War Master Horus and his forces in the failed attempt to overthrow the Emperor and his servants. Now and forever aligned with the Changer of Ways, the Thousand Sons use their powers to pursue knowledge and glory for themselves and their patron god. After embracing Tzeentch, the Thousand Sons continued to develop their combat doctrine of guile and trickery, and they continued to favor ranged weapons and sorcery over close combat. They changed their legion's colors from crimson to blue and gold, the favored colors of the Changer of Ways, and added elaborate headdresses to their helmets. The flesh change, which had been held in check by Magnus's intervention, began to take hold once again due to their exposure to the power of the warp within the Eye of Terror, where they had taken refuge on the demon world known as Sorciarius. The planet of the sorcerers and many of the Thousand Sons experienced radical mutations. The machinations of Ahriman, the chief librarian of the Thousand Sons and Magnus's second-in-command, led to the horrific spell known as the Rubric of Ahriman, which permanently solved the issue, though not in the way the sorcerer had expected. Ahriman's horrifying rubric did prevent further mutations in those of his brethren possessed of psychic abilities and adept at sorcery, but forever changed his other, non-psychic brothers into dust, their souls forever encased in their ensorcelled suits of power armor, transforming them into undead rubric marines. The Thousand Sons, who did possess psychic powers, found these abilities greatly enhanced and now lead their phantom battle brothers into war against the Imperium of Man and the Corpse Emperor they believe betrayed them so long ago. Upon learning of the failure of the rubric, Magnus in his rage banished Ahriman from the planet of the sorcerers. This was the first of many schisms that split the Thousand Sons, divisions that eventually caused estrangement from their own Primarch. As a result of this internal strife, the Thousand Sons effectively no longer function as a true legion. Instead, they fight as isolated war bands and individual warriors. Some served Tzeentch devoutly, others begrudgingly, and others as mindless conduits for the devastating sorcerous power of the warp. Typically, the Changer of Ways stands in direct opposition to Nurgle, the Plague Lord, just as Khorne, the god of war and wrath, most fervently opposes Slaanesh, the prince of decadence and depravity. Where Nurgle represents chaos as a force of stagnation and dissolution, Tzeentch embodies chaos as a force for change and development. Where Nurgle promotes and feeds off of despair and decay, Tzeentch promotes and is empowered by hope, potential, and progress. Where Nurgle fosters deterioration and ruin, Tzeentch fosters germination and development. To many students of the ruinous powers, the, however, speculative, ideological descriptions of the Changer of Ways make better sense when juxtaposed against those of Nurgle, Tzeentch's seeming antithesis amongst the dark gods. On innumerable occasions, Tzeentch's intricate plots have been foiled by Nurgle's malign influence, and the two chaos gods' demonic and mortal servants clash as often with each other as with their mutual enemies in the Imperium and among the Xeno species. Despite Tzeentch's intense rivalry with Grandfather Nurgle, He is nonetheless the chaos god with the most influence over the other major ruinous powers. At times, the chaos gods must unite and act in concert if their individual plans are to reach fruition, as they did against the emperor at the time of the Horus Heresy, and it is always Tzeentch who brokers these rare alliances of chaos undivided. However, Tzeentch never acts out of altruism, and it can be guaranteed that every time he moves to unite the powers of chaos, he does so ultimately with his own unfathomable goals in mind.
Created from the raw energy of the warp, Tzeentch's realm is one of constant flux and shifting structures hewn spontaneously from every material imaginable. There, the only constant is change. No mortal and few daemons can visit the realm of the Raven God and survive with sanity intact.
Just as Tzeentch manifests and appears in many different guises, many of them fluid and shifting, so too, the domain of the Changer of Ways within the realm of chaos, the realm of the sorcerer, constantly adapts to its master's whims, desires, moods, and of course, the demands of his thousand and one plots. Observers, human, Xenos, and demon perceive and interpret this territory in a wide variety of ways. In fact, some scholars and a few of the more coherent first-hand witnesses who have survived contact with Tzeentch's realm have suggested that neither mortal nor demon, save perhaps the most powerful lords of change, can grasp the true nature of Tzeentch's shifting realm. Most who visit the domain of the Great Mutator quickly go mad. Those of exceptionally strong mind and strong will can perhaps interpret but one facet of the often crystalline landscape that, like Tzeentch himself, has an infinite number of faces. Many commentators suggest that the mortal mind can only perceive this world of warp energy wrought into something resembling solid form through symbols or metaphors, images created by the mind of the iron-willed in an attempt to make sense of pure chaos and constant change. In fact, many commentators rely on paradoxical metaphors, even to describe the process of perceiving Tzeentch's realm itself. Sculpting with fog, describing a dream as it occurs, singing silently, painting with mist, and the like. The great ocean of the warp is a sea of madness and insanity, and Tzeentch's realm is the concentrated essence of such things given form. In spite of the constantly changing nature of the domain of the architect of fate and the limited capacity of the mortal mind to perceive and comprehend it, certain common views have emerged from the extant descriptions of Tzeentch's realm. Some observers claim that an enormous crystalline labyrinth dominates the landscape, a luminescent plane shimmering like a polished, mottled opal. Passages in this maze appear, dissolve, merge, split, and change direction seemingly at random. Only the lords of change, Tzeentch's greater demons, and those with the trenchant insights of the irrevocably mad can hope to understand the design of Tzeentch's deranged maze and to navigate its corridors. No demons are needed to act as sentinels in Tzeentch's realm. The labyrinth itself provides sufficient protection against anyone rash and foolhardy enough to attempt an assault on the great schemer. Those who gaze into the crystalline substance that composes this maze may see more than light reflected and refracted in the fluctuating facets of the shining surfaces. They may catch glimpses of fears, miseries, and hopes made visually manifest, dreams and nightmares, histories real and imagined, potential futures, images of torment, ecstasy, and despair, and abstract thoughts made momentarily concrete as pictures in the crystals. One visionary reported seeing various images of his children at different points in their lives, all of them moments of despair, sorrow, and desperation. Another recounted her experiences in Tzeentch's realm as one of exaltation and ecstasy, as she witnessed reflected representations of what she took to be her possible futures, each more joyful and successful than the last. Yet another claimed to observe nightmare imagery in the mirrored surface of the labyrinth. Demons rending flesh from friends and loved ones, the destruction of his home by dark sorcerers wielding warp fire, and worst of all, the transformation of his own body into a tentacled, writhing mass. When this last traveler was finally able to tear his gaze away from the hellish visions, he discovered that solar days had passed and that his body had indeed changed into the hideous chaos spawn he had seen in his vision. Imperial records show that all three of these individuals met with tragic ends, suicide, insanity, and execution at the hands of the Inquisition, respectively. In one sense, these survivors of Tsinch's realm were fortunate, as it is rumored that most who travel through the maze of the Raven God wander it eternally as miserable, insane shells of their former selves, forever tormented by ghastly visions, regrets over their mistakes and missed opportunities, and the hopes for a tomorrow that they will never realize. While the passage of time in the warp fluctuates and does not correspond to its regular, linear flow in the normal four-dimensional space-time of the Materium, the inconsistency of time's progression is even more pronounced in Tsinch's realm. As the anecdote above suggests, in what seems like a few solar minutes spent gazing into the depths of the crystals of Tsinch's labyrinthine realm, solar days or even standard years can pass. Two individuals might enter Tsinch's realm in the same instant in time. One might exit moments later and report that years had passed, whereas the other could spend centuries of real time in Tsinch's realm, but swear that he had been gone only minutes. In addition, other peculiarities in individuals' subjective perceptions of time occur within Tsinch's realm itself. A single footstep may seem to take solar hours to complete. What seems like a few seconds spent admiring the beautiful refraction of light on the crystalline structure of the maze can take Terran days. Many visitors, momentarily transfixed by some curiosity in Tsinch's realm, have died of dehydration or starvation. Others can spend years wandering the insane corridors of Tsinch's maze without drinking, eating, or resting, their metabolism apparently slowed by chaos influences. Legends tell of an entity known as the Guardian of the Maze that inhabits the crystalline labyrinth. Though its name implies that it serves as the protector of Tsinch's realm, it is said to function more as a gatekeeper and observer. Rumors tell of a path through Tsinch's realm that, in theory, anyone, mortal or demon, may follow to discover infinite knowledge. To follow this path, the inquisitive pilgrim must travel through 9 gates. These portals, 3 times the height of a man, appear as golden arches wreathed in the blue and pink warp fire of Tsinch. Such is the power of the Guardian of the Maze, or perhaps it is the bizarre temporal nature of Tsinch's twisting realm itself, that the Guardian manifests as a giant disembodied mouth hovering above all 9 gates simultaneously. At each gate, the mouth ponderously speaks, asking those seekers of knowledge one of the 999 riddles of Tsaratsoth. Those who answer the riddles correctly may pass through the gates and continue along the path to ultimate enlightenment. Those who fail to answer correctly are doomed to wander the labyrinth for all eternity, racked with insanity and regret over the infinite knowledge that might have been theirs. Legend tells of one being, the only one in all history, who answered all 9 of the questions correctly. Strangely, many versions of the story posit that this individual appeared in the guise of a young girl who was accompanied by a small black dog. Factions within the Ordo Malleus wage vicious scholarly battles over the hidden significance of this tale, or if the tale actually happened, or was yet another metaphorical wisp of smoke from the Master of Lies. Tsinch's Sanctum Sanctorum, the impossible fortress, is said to lie at the center of the crystalline maze, if indeed geographical descriptors such as center apply with any accuracy to this inconstant realm. Some consider this as more akin to a central belief or conceit that might drive a series of thoughts than an actual location, as nothing of this area has physicality as mortals would comprehend it. While this etheric edifice is in constant flux, many have described it as a crystalline castle composed of the same sort of material as the labyrinth that surrounds it. Imbalanced spires spontaneously emerge from the ever-shifting foundation of the impossible fortress, as do towers of blue and pink flame and searing warp fire. Gates, doors, and portals slowly open, as if yawning with the ennui of ages, only to slam shut like mouths of terrible beasts and then disappear. Mortals shackled by the psychological manacles forged by a lifetime of habit and enculturation in the material realm cannot fathom the perverse design of Tsinch's home. Indeed, as the name of this fastness implies, even the most visionary and heretical designers of the material realm could not draft plans for the maddening architecture of the impossible fortress. Few demons, save the most powerful lords of change, can navigate its corridors, but as these creations are intelligent distillations of the madness that makes up Tsinch's realm, they thrive all the same. Deep inside the impossible fortress, according to some profane accounts, lies Tsinch's fabled hidden library. This infinite collection of tomes, scrolls, and parchments of every kind contains every scrap of knowledge and thought ever recorded in creation, stories written and unwritten, histories true and alternate, and accounts of future's potential, actual and imagined. Many of the volumes are so weighty with knowledge that they gain a sentience of a kind and spend centuries chattering to passers-by, arguing with one another, rewriting themselves, and then reorganizing their placement accordingly. Magical chains of warp flame help to protect the books and bind them in place. Horrors serve as grotesque librarians and work tirelessly to reshelve the works, catalog the collection, and maintain what passes for order in the impossible fortress, though as the concept itself is anathema to the great mutator, no mortal could possibly fathom such a design. As with so many things associated with the changer of ways, few things are always as they seem. Although the crystal labyrinth, the impossible fortress, and the hidden library often appear, or at least are often perceived, as delineated above, by no means are these descriptions consistent with every narrative provided by those unfortunate mortal souls who have visited Tsinch's domain. Bach Samael, dubbed the lunatic scrivener of Hamclaw Prime by the Hive City princes who acted as his patrons, claimed to have traveled to and returned from Tsinch's realm in the early 41st millennium. Samael attested that he saw nothing but a bleak hill on which a single leafless tree stood. Daylas Dial, the heretic illuminator of Phelan 10 who was later executed for heresy, described Tsinch's realm as a barren, desert landscape populated by deformed, headless humanoids that continually split and reformed into new bodies. Other witnesses have described a realm of pulsating and constantly morphing protoplasm, towers of fungus and mold, continents of sentient vegetation, and vines without finite length, and vast landscapes of nothing but barren stone and ash. It is likely that Tsinch's realm is all of these things and many more. Others have suggested that observers interpret Tsinch's realm subjectively, filtering their perception of structured warp energy through their own psychological expectations and experiences. It may be most probable that Tsinch himself determines how each mortal or demonic individual perceives his realm to suit the needs, whims, and conspiracies of the Master of Lies. Like all the dark gods, Tsinch has a vast number of minions of a variety of types at his command, ranging from the demons created as condensations of his own will to the mortals who serve his whim, whether they know it or not. All are mere puppets to be manipulated by the architect of fate, and few, if any, even consider the nature of the strings controlling their actions. Tsinch's demons vary greatly from one type to another in terms of their appearance. their morphology, their level of intellect and autonomy, and their function in their master's schemes. Arguably, there is greater diversity in the creatures of Tzeentch than in the warp creatures of the other ruinous powers. However, the demons of Tzeentch do have certain features in common. For one, demons are creatures of the Sea of Souls that can normally only exist for short periods of time in real space under certain strict conditions, as the material realm is not their natural element. Some initiating incident usually occurs for the demons to broach the barrier between the soft, shifting realms of the immaterium and the hard-edged, definite four-dimensional geometries of real space. They may be summoned into the material plane by a sorcerer or chaos cultist conducting an ancient, forbidden ritual, or perhaps when a psyker loses control, enabling the demon to tear its way into reality through the psyker's body, or some calamitous sorceress or psychic event occurs to weaken the barrier. In spite of the instability of their presence in the materium, demons can be remarkably resilient to most forms of physical damage. Poisons and disease do no harm to these creatures of the warp. Though many force weapons, holy relics, and psychic attacks can harm them with comparative ease due to their psychic component and resonance within the Imperium,